Welcome to the Invasion of the Remake. I'm your host, Jason Bishop, hot off of birthday weekend. I think I'm working that weekend. So.
The future past.
Womp, womp.
Yeah, womp, womp. So, Jeff, Trish, we're guestless today.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, well, I don't know. We did invite a guest in, but they couldn't come in.
Yeah, I invited a couple, and they were like, go to hell, you losers.
Yeah.
No, maybe that wasn't what they said. I don't know.
You were looking at the subtext. There was a subtitle underneath what they were saying. The subtitle, fuck you.
That's okay. We're awesome all on our own.
That's right. We're awesome all on our own, and they missed out on two spectacular movies. Because we're talking about Let the Right One In, a 2008 Swedish film directed by Thomas Alfredson, based on a novel by John Avid Lindquist. Not bad.
He gave
and
it a
of
French
course,
spin, but it was Lindquist.
All right. Well, you know, whatever. French Canadian. And of course, Let Me In, the 2010 remake directed by Matt Reeves, who also adapted the screenplay for it as well. And Matt Reeves, you might remember from Cloverfield. He was the director of Cloverfield, as well as Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Nice.
Wasn't he also the writer for Under Siege 2?
Yes, he was.
Very good.
Well done.
Nice.
Now, both these films financially weren't overly successful, but my God, critically, these things cleaned up in awards and all sorts of stuff. The Swedish film, Let the Right One In, had a budget of $4 million with an opening weekend of just shy of $50,000 US. This is an opening weekend in the US. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of skewed information.
I could not find worldwide grosses on this. I mean, at a budget of $4 million, I'm sure it made its money back worldwide, but the US total gross was a little over $2 million.
Well, it's a foreign film in the US.
Yeah.
I think, as we've discussed
which never
before, it doesn't
performs
work.
Well in that territory. No. But globally speaking, it probably didn't take too long to make its money back.
No.
So, but not a huge success either. And it was an early film for Hammer Films, who budgeted their remake at $20 million. It made a little over $5 million on its opening weekend with a worldwide gross US dollars of a little over $22 million. So they kind of broke even on that one. But they made a hell of a movie.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Yay, Hammer.
Now, this movie's vampire bullying movie. The vampire's not the bully, but it's certainly like, got heavy bullying.
It's trick or treat, but rather
things.
Than a rock star, it's a vampire.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a Swedish remake of Trick or Treat.
Yeah. They're like, oh, we do not believe this rock star thing. Vampire, yes, that is what we do.
That's because the Swedish rock stars are too extreme. They're like, oh, he would never help anybody. They just burn a church down, so.
Or kill a band member.
Yeah.
Let me do something with his teeth.
Oh, this film opens with the opening credits is very stark. It's quiet.
Yeah.
The Swedish film, its soundtrack is actually very quiet. There's not a ton of music. They don't try to fall into the same tropes as other horror films do, and it's certainly more of a dramatic horror.
Yeah, I don't know if I would even consider the original one horror, to be honest.
No. I'd say there's definitely more horror aspects to the second one.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely embracing, going a little more Hollywood with it. So,
a lot more.
Yeah.
Make it more of a creature.
It's still a very emotional movie, but when they hit similar scenes, you actually react to them a little differently because of how the way they're shot, how it's scored. And in some cases, what they left out or what they added in, but those sequences are got much bigger horror,
they're flashy
thriller aspects to them for sure in the remake. Yeah,
yeah, and even what little action there is in both movies, it's like pushed as far as it can go in the American one, and I felt that it was kind of held back in the Swedish one. Like the whole tone of the Swedish one is like very muted and oppressive and
it's very
slow and,
it's
like
very
not to
subtle.
Say the movie is slow.
Mm-mm.
But things happen at a very gradual pace, and I feel like they ramped it up for the American one, and I would even consider the American one sort of a slow movie.
Mm-hmm.
But comparatively speaking, they really tried to push what action there was. I mean, even opening with such a big action sequence, that was what I think a very like emotional pivotal part of the original movie.
Yeah.
They've taken out of context and just shoved it in this scene just to get their bad CG face and whatever. Like, I actually really dislike that.
Oh, I didn't enjoy that at all.
Well, especially now, having watched the two back-to-back, mm-hmm. I didn't mind the first time, but I've never really dug the whole let's flash forward and then go 2 weeks earlier, catch up to the movie, and pass that point again. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you're taking the scene out of context, you're like, what the fuck is going on here?
I know, right? I got lost, because I thought...
And I don't think it's the most pivotal point of the movie, so...
No. Yeah, kind of a weird place to jump to. Like, yeah. It's pivotal for the sake of that particular character.
Well, I guess that's where everything changes for Abby. So.
Yeah, but it came from a more emotional place, I think, for the character in the Swedish one.
It's the Swedish one I caught on quicker as to what the relationship was mm-hmm. than in the American one seemed off. But the Swedish one very much, like, it took you a while to catch up, but once you figured out what the relationship was between her companion and her.
Yeah, I felt like the American one makes a finer point of what that relationship is. I mean, they change what that relationship
different.
Is.
It's totally different.
It's different, but they I don't feel it.
They do define it a little bit better, specifically when you're looking at the photographs and stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it's over the... To me, I never really felt the connection. It's because they tried so hard to show it, I didn't feel that connection.
Yeah, you know, when I was looking it up, I did they ever say that dude's name? And no, they never really do. In the Swedish one, he's credited as Håkan, as played by Per Ragnar. whatever. And then he's credited as the father, played by Richard Jenkins in the remake. When I was writing my notes, I just called her human.
I put companion.
Yeah.
Because, like, you find out basically that it really kind of shows up, like, this is just the beginning of this journey all over again.
Mm-hmm.
For Abby, she's just found her new companion.
Yeah, well, they're arguing a lot through the film, at least the first. You don't see it happen a lot, but you hear it through the walls and things like that. It's a relationship that's strained and kind of at its end.
Yeah.
You know, it's like become that in the American
one,
him.
For sure, but in the Swedish one, it's not this, like, oh, I don't want to do it anymore, or I want out, like mm-hmm. it is in the American one. It's more like... The character is getting too old and he can't keep up anymore and he feels like he's letting her down.
He's like, right? I'm old and tired and I can't do this for you anymore.
Yeah. Which makes that scene with the acid burning his face all the more dramatic in the Swedish one, because it's like, I failed you and now I have to, like, horribly disfigure myself so they can't track me back to you.
I mean, both films...
In this one, it was... Or in the American one, it was like, oh, well, I'm always hiding my face with the garbage bag, which was a weird choice. Yeah. Apparently mm-hmm. the actor's choice.
Yeah.
And then he just... It seems like it's sort of an accident. It's not really like it was meant to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, well, no, he goes scrambling for it because he's been seen with Abby, and he's still... In the end, it's still the same reasoning. You know, he's still protecting her, and... Even though he's never been physically seen doing the killings, but if there's nothing... And that's setting it in 1980s kind of simplifies forensics and all that other stuff. And I can see why they set it that way. It lessens the complications.
And you can, like, if you do... That's the thing about some of these movies. Sometimes you can get rid of some of these things that could easily be fixed. But mm-hmm. like, from a narrative standpoint, just by setting it in the right time frame... You can make it so that it makes sense, because you're like, oh, why don't they just do, you know, this and that?
Oh, Jesus. How many times when the first time the human fails her and she has to go hunting on her own, she gets spotted. And if we did modernized it, camera phones and YouTube. And I'd go viral in seconds.
Or there's cameras in that little area where people walk through. There's lots of stuff.
Sure.
There might be lights
mm-hmm. yeah.
in there. Yeah. Well, one of the things that they, you know, you're talking about forensics, Oscar, the main in the Swedish movie, he, like, bullied kid, whatever, and he kind of has, like, a real morbid interest in, like, crime and death and forensics, and they touch on it in that really bizarre class in Sweden where they teach them about current event crime. I don't know if that's something that's normal. It's glossed over in the American in, like, an assembly or whatever, but it was, like, a continuous class, but he was, like, really super interested in all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then they replaced that, like, twisted morbid curiosity with voyeurism and an addiction to candy in the American one.
Yeah.
I thought that was like a weird choice.
Yeah, well,
like,
the kid comes off a little creepier in the original Swedish movie with the way it's opening, that cold open, and
squeal like a pig.
Squeal like a pig in his underwear and with the knife. In a way, I think they tried to creep it up a little bit more in the American one, where he's wearing that kind of clear mask. Michael Myers type of mask. There's a lot of masks and stuff in there.
It was a Reagan mask, honestly. But
the American one had a lot of masks. You're right.
Yeah, which, there was definitely some political overtones in there as well.
Lots.
Yeah, about Reaganism and you know, the fear of the unknown, and that was certainly a commentary on the Cold War.
Oh, and for sure, like, and it's I think in like the original one with Oscar, I think touching on the fact that he's got this morbid curiosity, he does want to defend himself. Like, mm-hmm. in secretly, he's like, he wants to get even with these bullies. This desire to kill serves Ely.
Coldness to him as well. Like, yeah. I think maybe he's trying to detach himself a bit from reality. Mm-hmm. He's clipping a lot of things from the paper that are about killers crime and things and killers like crime and death.
Also, when he's being bullied, he's in the original, he's very detached. Like, he just kind of like isn't there while they're wailing on him and stuff. And in the American one, what is the character's name?
Owen
is like a whiny little bitch about everything.
Oh yeah, like he will not show emotion in the so when he's getting bullied, he just kind of takes it. But he won't give them the satisfaction to see him cry.
Yeah, but they, like, in the other one, it's like,
oh, he
threw that out the window.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, the monster in the movie in the Swedish one is Oscar. Because, mm-hmm. you know, she approaches him and she even says, and now I watched a really bad English dub, so I don't know how this translates, but she says to him, oh, you've thought about killing and you would kill if you could, because she's trying to find a replacement for Haskins.
It's in the subtitles as well.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he seems more of the character. He's someone Ely needs.
Yeah. And he's sociopathic or psychotic and is exactly the person she needs to go around and murder people for food.
Yeah. Given that when he has the opportunity to do so and protect her near the end of the film, he drops the knife. So he doesn't make that move. It's enough to save Ely regardless, but mm-hmm. he doesn't do it. I think, an important scene that maybe gets glossed over a bit because mm-hmm. he's made that choice that, no, he really isn't a killer. He's got a fascination with them, but he's not one of them.
Yeah, or not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, like, I think it's sort of something Ely knows she's going to have to teach him.
Yeah.
She's nurture. Going to get through him, but it's sort of, yeah, like, he still's got that little bit of humanity, like, where he knows that it's wrong, he can't do it.
Yeah. Let's get cut down to it. This movie, both these movies, is about coming of age and dealing with bullies.
Yeah.
Very handedly so. I didn't like how the American brought religion into the
what was that?
The stuff as well, but it even disconnected the kid Owen from his parents even more than the Swedish one did. At least the Swedish one, it felt like, yeah, he's kind of going through his parents getting a divorce, but it seemed like he had a half decent relationship with his father more than his mother, who's mm-hmm. being essentially the bad guy who's stressed about everything.
Yeah, but that's the one he lives with most of the time.
Yeah,
there was that drinking scene with the father, which I in the Swedish one that I felt was supposed to signify something like important, and I never really picked it out. Maybe it's a societal thing.
I was reading online, and basically they're talking about, like, you never find out why his parents are kind of separated and getting divorced, but they're like, basically what they thought, like what I kind of read, was it shows you that he and Oscar and his father are having a great night in, and then this guy comes over and his father just kind of discards Oscar and just starts drinking. So
yeah, he makes the wrong choice, and you could see that there's a,
his father may have a problem.
Yeah, like the first chance where he gets to drink, and they've kind of give that alcoholism to the mom in the American one, and dad really only gets a phone call.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic religious freak in the American one.
Mm-hmm. With no face.
Yeah.
Well, she's the peanuts mom.
You want me to stab someone in the neck?
Speak more clearly, mom. Yeah. I'm misunderstanding here.
I like how they both utilized Morse code. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
that was a good thing to keep.
Oh, the, yeah. In the remake, the producers actually wanted to change the age of the characters, and thankfully the director who also adapted the script, he was like, no, that's too important to these characters because of the coming of age story. Well, I mean, both filmmakers really, really focused on that part of the novel, of this coming of age between these two kids and this growing love for each other, which really starts with she shows up, I can't be your friend. Well, I don't want to be your friend then.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys think, I as soon as I saw the kids and I'm like, what the fuck do they feed these people in Sweden?
Like, yeah, they're pretty gaunt.
They're gaunt, pale, and tall.
Tall Swedish.
Tall and thin and very blonde.
Tall, lanky Swedish blood. I don't know.
I read both of the kids were 11 years old when they got cast, and I'm like, Jesus, that one chick looks like she's like 16.
Which one, though, when he plays Ellie?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought she looked older. She was 12.
I thought she looked really young. Yeah, because she's like very small, and she was very androgynous looking, which, I mean, is the point. At least in the Swedish one.
Yes. She's
constantly, very well cast.
Would you think of me differently if I wasn't a girl, if you didn't think I was a girl?
Yeah.
Those lines are in both films. But they do it means differently. Something very means different, different in the Swedish movie.
Yeah.
In the American one, it's pretty much she's just making a reference that she's a vampire.
See, but I think in the Swedish one, I think it's encompassing both.
Yeah.
I always felt it was not just, I'm not a girl, i.e., I'm not a girl, like I'm not a female.
Yeah.
But I also thought it was partly it's a dual meaning that she's giving up, is like, I'm not a girl, like I'm just not.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely more meanings in there, and there's a lot more of that kind of thing in the Swedish movie. She's certainly making reference to that she's not human anymore, like a human girl, but she's not a girl either, because we actually, at one point, there's a scene where she's changing in the washroom, and Oscar's...
Catches a glimpse,
and there's this scar right around where her genitalia would be, and I'm like, oh, something's happened here a long time ago, and she's not actually a she.
Yeah, and I wish, honestly, I didn't know that in advance, because I did know that in advance.
I didn't.
From the... Yeah. Like, I read the synopsis for the novel and stuff, and it outlines it there. But, the character is, like, castrated and turned at 12 years old.
So
it kind of makes you wonder what that character was doing to deserve such horrible...
Yeah.
I don't know. Condemnation?
Yeah, well, to get that really extreme female circumcision, but on a male. which is basically what it is. But yeah, I guess they filmed the scene, but it was too much, I think they felt, so they didn't put it in.
That was the American one, I think they filmed it.
Really? I'm not sure.
No, the American one, they filmed the scene where the actress Chloe Grace Moretz,
yeah.
So they filmed the scene where Abby's being attacked by people while she's still human, and they thought it was too intense. Apparently it exists online somewhere. I never looked for it.
Oh, okay, but I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so there's this, like, you know, little cutting room floor thing, and the director said that he had regrets that it didn't make it in, but I would have changed, well, maybe not change the tone of that movie, because it was
well, there's a lot of stuff in the novel that didn't make it into either film.
No.
There'd certainly be some controversy over some of the stuff in there.
Like, I don't know, I feel I now have to read the novel, because I want to find out
there
if
there is
actually
a throwaway line about Hawkins' personal proclivities and tastes, and it's a throwaway line, and it's certainly open to interpretation, but it's a subtle reference to the novel where he's a straight out pedophile. And I can see where that would be a tough thing to film. And show in any kind of positive light. There's just no saving something like that.
In the book with that relationship, and again, I knew this going in, so maybe I see it a bit in the film, is that, like, their relationship isn't positive. It's a controlling, oppressive relationship where, you know, he's doing these things to, like, satisfy his, like, weird urges, and then the Ellie character would, like, you know, only allow him so much in that regard, right? To do all these things. And then the final deal was, like, Hacken wanted to, like, sleep with her. Yeah. And that was why he went out for that one last time and then gets the acid in the face or whatever. But, and then the character, like, of course says that he can't or whatever. So, yeah, it's pretty dark. There's a lot of really dark stuff in the book that never made it into either film.
Yeah, and I think it's that aspect of that character is handled better in the American one, where it was a similar relationship to what is starting with
Owen.
Owen in the new one. And they've known each other since children. He's grown old and she hasn't. And it's just an unconditional love for her. And it's certainly strained by that point, but probably because of age and time. And
it was implied in...
I get the feeling he doesn't like killing anybody.
Yeah.
See, I thought it would... See, and that's what I thought the relationship was in the sweet
spot. Even though he was scarier. He certainly did it in a more slasher-esque kind of way in the American one.
Well, yeah, he was very sloppy.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
That's the worst part. Like,
I thought he was sloppier in the Swedish one.
Yeah, he was sloppy. Yeah. Well, in the Swedish one, when he does that first thing and he's hanging up that guy, I'm like, that's a very well-lit area.
You can see his cars driving
there's
by.
There's a road. He's not too far off the highway.
Yeah, I keep going. I'm like, oh, you're... And both guys have no... They've never seen a movie where a body goes into a body of water and it doesn't just sink.
Yeah.
Like, it's like neither one of them ever knew this or ever saw a movie where this happened.
I love that he, like... jabs the body with that big metal rod or whatever, and it winds up that rod gets found and used later on by Owen / Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's sort of they're just bad. But if you've been killing for her for so long, wouldn't you get a little better at it?
Yeah, at least the American guy for sure. Like hiding in the car, I thought was the dumbest sequence.
Oh,
I hated
that.
Oh yeah. Oh, the second time around, especially when the friend gets in there and it's like, this is starting to feel like kind of a weird Cheers episode or something.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I didn't like the way they handled... I didn't like the way they handled that character at all in the American one compared to the Swedish one. I thought it was better.
Yeah, I don't know. I just need a better killer.
There was he was sloppy in both ones, but... I don't know. I think in the American one, I kind of like how he gets caught better. The gymnasium thing bothered me, too.
Like, it was a little weird.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it makes sense when you know what his proclivities are. So in the Swedish one. So,
and I did not know that.
I didn't know that going in. So.
I thought for sure, like, that's the thing. Like, in the Swedish one, I thought it was the same type of relationship where they grew up from children. But I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, so it certainly puts that whole stalking thing at the school in a different light.
Standing outside the window during gym class.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Isn't any teacher looking around going, who the fuck is the creep by the window?
Yeah.
The teacher's pretty creepy himself, so.
I know, but I don't know. Maybe he's like, he doesn't want the other creep to get in his creep zone. I don't know. Do creeps have, like, hunting rounds? I'm not sure. How does that work?
Well, and then Oscar's got some pretty strange neighbors in the Swedish one. You got the crazy cat dude.
Yeah.
Who witnesses... Yeah. Ellie attacking somebody.
His best friend.
No, not his best friend.
He's a friend. It was another neighbor in the... who's
the guy with the wife, that's his best friend.
Right.
He finds out about the attack through the crazy cat guy.
Yeah, and see, I liked...
And then when his body turns up, he's all upset, and he's like, you don't understand. I'm like,
I've lost everything, yeah.
Oh, that kind of special friend.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
I like the fact that they
never come out and say it.
Yeah, no, I love that. And like, he's telling his wife, he's like, you don't understand. I've just lost everything.
And and Yvonne's just just figures it out in the moment, storms off.
She finally figures it out.
That, of course, makes her the next victim.
Yeah, but I love how in the Swedish one, they made them kind of middle-aged.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, but it's a Hollywood one, so now all the neighbors are
young
and
hot. Couples, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the middle-aged guys, and like in the weird English dub I watched, when they part ways right before he gets attacked, it's a really bizarre exchange.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, thanks for a night of, like, what did he say? Like, a night of solid friendship or something. Like, it was really bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like, is this being translated properly? It obviously was.
That was in my subtitled one, too.
Yeah, it was really strange. And then, he gets killed, and the guy is just, like, devastated.
Sometimes I wondered about the translation, and that was one of those scenes. And there was another one, they were like, watch for the holy. And then I realized, oh, no. They also have the foreign gym teacher, and then comes in later on where they retranslate it. Hole in the ice.
Yeah, it's not. Beware of the ice pit is what he says. And they're like, no, it's the ice hole.
The ice pit.
And I'm sitting there
my translation
like,
said holy.
Oh, see, I got ice pit.
Watch for the holy.
I had the DVD, so I watched it in Swedish, but with English subtitles.
Yeah, that's how I did too. Yeah.
Watch it on YouTube with a really weird English dub.
Yeah. But what was weird was default on my DVD was English dub, but with English subtitles.
Sometimes that's fascinating because they'll say, they'll dub in English and then the subtitles will be completely different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was watching the English with the English subtitles, I'm like, those don't match.
Yeah, that is not what they said.
Yeah, mine started up, my American one started up with the subtitles. I just turned them off right away, but I was tempted to do that because it's always kind of fascinating to
I love the sound of that. Another language. Like, I don't know, I just like
I have it. The most amazing, it was a knockoff that I picked up in Richmond, B.C. Monsters, Inc. And this is amazing translation from, like, Japanese, so English to Japanese to English again.
Oh yeah.
So there's things in there, it's like, fuck off, Wazowski. I'm nice. Like, what? Whoa, there's something's really got lost in translation on this thing. It's amazing. It's
that's the funnest
amazing.
Game to do is to like go into like the Google thing and translate something, then translate it back. It's never not fun.
Yeah.
I've had a few questionable sourced DVDs that have weird jokes. Like there was anime for Zone of Enders, which is like a video game, and it was an English dub, but they were using words that were not in any language I'm aware of. Like they all, I remember that what they used to say Prolux a lot. Prolux was a word they used. I don't know Prolux. If that is a word, but yeah, I was like, wow, this is terrible, and then promptly tossed it. But yeah, it's interesting. That's why I was a little worried coming in. I'm like, oh, this English dub is really bad. But then I noticed that it was like almost line for line, word for word, the same as the American one. Because I watched them back to back. And I was like, oh, shit. Did they actually just like go back and like just say the lines over top the scene? And then maybe I'm not even watching the right movie.
There's not a lot of dialogue in the movie for a fairly long movie. There's not a ton of it. It's a lot of emotional beats, glances. Hugs, glances, and
it's,
there's in subtle changes, you know, they're calling Oscar Piggy and they call him a little girl in the other one and with the bullies.
And the Swedish one, I don't know if it was just me, but it felt there was more night, more dark, like it was just a darker movie. Or was that just me?
They were both dark. I think it was all the lens flares in the American one that had to think that it was brighter.
Yeah.
It was a lot. It was strange.
Yeah, I don't know. It was weird that it wasn't a J.J. Abrams movie. But.
Well, I had read that Michael Reeves was roommates with J.J. Abrams. So maybe they were working on it and he's like, you know what? This vampire movie needs more lens flares.
Lens flares.
Also, I'm J.J. Abrams and I talk like this. I have no idea, but...
He's just imagining. He talks like a 1920s reporter.
Yeah.
What do you say there, sir?
Well, I couldn't find an English version of the Swedish trailer, which mainly had no dialogue in it and was just would make for shitty radio. So, so I'm going to run the English one, and you guys can just imagine it in Swedish with a bunch of
imagine the Swedish chef the whole time.
Yeah, just
Here's a vampire.
Oscar.
Yeah, you can just imagine it with that. So.
As some of you may have heard, there was an incident last night. One of your recent graduates here was killed.
In the meantime, we need you all to be on the lookout for any suspicious activity.
You guys just moved in, huh?
How do you know?
I live next door to you.
What happened there? Some kids from school? I'll help you. But you're a girl. I'm a lot stronger than you think I am.
Can you hear me through the wall?
Only sometimes.
We found the body a few days ago. Victim completely drained of blood. Please don't see that boy again.
Where's your dad? On my dad. What was that? What was going on?
Hello?
What are you? Really? I need blood to live.
Hey there. You okay?
More than just what's been going on around here. This goes way back, other states, other cities.
I have to go away.
You got something you want to tell me?
Do you think there's such a thing as evil?
Okay, in the American one, there's more religious overtones.
Yeah.
There aren't really any in the Swedish one?
No, there's none in the Swedish. I mean, there's lots of little subtle messages and things that we talked about, the subtle references to pedophilia and possibly that dude's had a gay relationship with his best friend. And there's different things handled in different movies in different ways, and when they bring it to the U.S., they're certainly playing on that middle America religious aspect and that making references that might have been one of the things that broke up Owen's parents.
Yeah.
Their religion. Yeah. For sure it was.
Religion,
like,
and alcohol.
And there's his mind about it.
Yeah. And when they're showing the Reagan speech in the hospital, and you can see it reflected in the doorway there. I mean, again, that was a reference to America's fear of the outside world at the time, this political Cold War thing going on at the time, and that's certainly another theme in the film. But let's not forget, both of them are really about bullying.
They really are, yeah. The overall theme is don't bully people because then they will team up with a vampire and you'll be horribly murdered.
Yeah.
And, like, the kid you were bullying is surprisingly cool with
that. That final scene in both movies
is fucking
amazing.
It's great. I really love it in the Swedish one.
The Swedish one was good.
I thought it was done a little bit better there, too.
Yeah, because you don't see any of it.
No.
You catch a glimpse of it in the American one, but you see nothing in the Swedish one until that arm kind of falls.
Honestly, even in the overhead shot after the whole scene kind of plays out, because the American one's kind of similar to you. You're not seeing really much of it. It's just...
There's a lot more blood.
There's more screaming, more blood. But
and everybody
in the end, in the overhead shot, because it's so dark, it doesn't look as good to me. It's still a pool. The lighting didn't really change too much from once the kids left and they got their alone time with Oscar. And I felt it was just a bit more effective, and because all the kids get slaughtered
in the American one.
In the Swedish one, the one kid that always had that little remorse and didn't want to get involved was left weeping on the bleachers.
Yeah.
So it's even the worst trauma at all. He got to see these so-called friends of his get slaughtered, and he's left alive. And it also gives Oscar more motivation to leave.
Yeah. But it also helps, like, when your kind of perception of Ellie, like, she's not quite, like, she's a monster, but she's not quite a complete monster.
Well, I mean, part of the growth, but it's not just the growth of the romance, but she starts remembering how to be human. There's an amazing line that's not, I wish the American one had used, early on when they're in the park, and Oscar asks Ellie if she's cold, and she goes, I've forgotten how.
Yes.
And I'm like, that's amazing. Like, I've forgotten how to be cold. I don't, like, it's just doesn't compute anymore.
Yeah.
And she just says, oh, I don't feel the cold in the American one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's disheveled. She doesn't make any attempts to look like a normal girl.
Well, at least in both movies, he tells her that she stinks.
Yeah.
And then she comes back showered in the next scene. Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah. She's trying to make a human connection, even though she knows she shouldn't.
Yeah.
And that was actually something in the American one that I liked near the end, when Oscar's has found out, and he's has these trepidations about her, and she's like, I told you we shouldn't be friends.
Yeah.
They didn't do that in the American one.
Yeah.
The thing, one of the best lines is, you know, when they're lying together in both movies, the vampire character is naked in both movies for some reason. I was never clear why.
She probably didn't want to bring all the blood.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And she still had it in her face, though. She could have gone
cleaned her face.
That
was the one thing I was like, going, why don't you just clean yourself up, lady? Like, what's going on?
Well, then Ellie in the Swedish one says, I'm not a girl.
Yep.
And that's the end of it, and they just continue on with their conversation about going steady.
Yeah.
Where in the American one, just the same, I'm not a girl. And he goes, well, what are you? And she goes, well, I'm nothing. And it was like, it's better if you cut it. Because then, like, yeah, there's that air of mystery, right?
Well, with as nothing, I think that's more of how she sees herself. I think that's more of a mental view of herself, mm-hmm, rather, yeah, than the physical change in the other one.
But also that line takes out any homoerotic context that could have been there and would make people uncomfortable.
Yeah, it totally does.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure.
Because you're not sure. I mean, Chloe looks a little androgynous in this movie.
Yeah, right? The American one wasn't brave enough to show scarred genitalia.
No.
I get the impression that she was not.
No, at no point.
She's a girl.
Yeah, she's an actual female that was changed. I don't think they have that backstory. Granted, there is backstory that was done as a comic book, but okay. Yeah, it was I can't remember the name of it, but Dark Horse did it.
Yeah.
And it was a prelude to the American films.
So. There was a lot of contention about that, too.
Yeah.
Because the John, whatever, Lindquist guy who wrote the story, when he sold the rights, he initially went after them for the comic book.
He did, because
he was like, oh, you didn't clear this with me. But he was unclear on the studio's contract. So he had sold all the licensing away.
Yeah.
And he was no like, idea. Well, shit. And then, so that comic came out without his blessing, and he probably didn't see a penny from it either.
No.
Well, probably not. Yeah, you're probably right.
But I don't think anybody saw that comic, because you and I are comic guys. I've never seen one before.
Oh, yeah. No, we had it. I think it's out of print now, but yeah. I never bothered to read it because I didn't think it'd be very good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a story I needed, you know? I don't think anybody needed it.
Depends, like, because it's Dark Horse and whoever, so it's the American take.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, the really fascinating, what did Ellie do to deserve to get castrated and turned into a vampire at 12 years old? We will never know. Unless it's in the novel, which I actually don't think it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to read the novel and maybe find out, because that would be fascinating. Even if they just allude to it, I can try and maybe figure it out.
Now, Thomas Alfredson was actually offered the remake, and he had some very interesting comments about it, remakes in general. He's one of the quotes, and I'm not doing a direct quote here, but I'm paraphrasing here, and he basically said remakes should be done of shitty movies to get another attempt at making a good one.
Agreed.
Well, yeah, somebody should start a podcast about that.
Yeah,
I know, right?
And
it's like you can see into our soul.
And he also said, "I'm just too damn old to make the same movie twice." You know, he'd rather go make something else.
I felt that way watching them back to back. That while some scenes were juggled a little bit, and you know what I think is a crucial story element is removed in the American one, it really felt like the Psycho remake. Where it was like, it was a remake nobody wanted, you didn't do anything innovative, you just told the same story in the same style a second time, and, you know, unlike the Psycho remake, which was 40 years later, this was 2 years later.
Yeah, they did make a few changes and switch some characters around, some didn't get as much screen time. It feels a little more polished Hollywood, and some of the subtleties just go away in the American one.
Like, they eliminated the
But it's
the
still
character.
Very good. I know the author of the novel was happy with both.
Yeah, and they're both excellent movies for sure.
Yeah, it's a very good remake, but it's the American one just feels American, even though Hammer's British. But
it does. It's like it feels like an American movie because they're like, well, we gotta have the cop. The cop's gotta investigate.
Was it just me? But I always thought New Mexico was. I almost never saw snow mind.
You can get it at the higher altitudes.
In my mind, I'm like, do they even get that much snow? Do they see snow more than once a decade?
Colorado.
Yeah. I just felt like maybe that's a little too far.
And my American geography is really shitty.
Yeah. Plus, as a vampire, I think what you'd want to do is you'd want to be like either like a higher latitude or lower latitude, depending on what time of year. Because, like, a nice snowy wintertime, you get a really long day.
Yeah.
Like, in Canada, it'd be a wonderfully long day. It'd be our summertime day, but you're a vampire.
And way up north, it would be 30 days of... Oh, wait, that's a different
movie.
Different movie. That hasn't been remade.
I don't know. Like, and the winter itself is, like, it's a character. Like, it's a part of it that's so intrinsic.
It is important to this script. I mean, it's part of how they hide the bodies. It's... In the American one, it's how the human, I'm just going to keep calling him the human, fucks up his ankle. you know, while trying to bleed that first guy, something. Trips over, spills all the blood, and that starts another argument. I mean, he doesn't even get far enough to bleed the guy out completely. Like, he's just starting to bleed his victim out in the first one, and before a dog.
Yeah.
A really beautiful standard poodle walks up.
Very unusual.
A well-looked after standard poodle named Ricky, of all things.
Stark white. Stark white poodle.
Just a poodle named Ricky comes and fucks it all up.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised because most people don't think much about poodles, but the standard side poodles are bred to be hunting dogs.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised the poodle.
And it laps up the blood after.
I know.
Oh, yeah. After he runs, it's lapping up the blood when the owners finally catch up. And
yeah, and that very well lit area. That's just, I found that excessively bothers him.
Here? Yeah. We're snow blind. I don't know, from the lights. Yeah.
Well, that's the great thing about wintertime. Like, I don't know if you guys remember, like, or think about, like, when it's the dead of winter and there's a lot of snow around and there's, like, a full moon out. If it's, like, bright enough, it just feels like just a dusk twilight. Like, you can see far. It's very illuminating. So yeah, it would be hard to kill people.
You can make out the make and model of the cars driving by. Yeah. You almost could. You almost could.
Now, I like... There's Ellie had, well, both of the vampires were really keen on puzzles, and I think that is a little bit of a reference to classic vampire lore, where, you know, you would drop ropes of knots and stuff, and they'd have to untie them, that sort of.
Oh, or seeds. They'd have to count all the seeds.
Yeah, there's a manic compulsiveness that to the classic vampire that has completely gone away in the theatrical thing.
Yeah.
But the she is quite the collection of both of them have quite the collection of ancient puzzles and just hinting at her age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've
Ellie,
been 12 a long
Ellie
time.
Specifically had this amazing kind of golden egg puzzle that shatters just when she touches it. It's just very delicate in how it's built, and it had all these rings hidden in it. It was such an effective thing where she's obviously collecting some of the more valuable pieces from the victims that she's had over the years, a kind of a trophy in a way. Although I was a little baffled that the epitome of richness was being able to buy and sell nuclear reactors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It says that in the Swedish one. Does she say it in the American?
No, movie? No, not at all. There's no.
Oh, there's none of that.
There's no talk about money at all in there because at that point they are talking about, oh, you need money. I got money.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like she's got money, but she's
think
got
about
money.
It. She would have money. Like, I mean, other than renting a place to stay, she doesn't need to buy food. She doesn't get cold. She doesn't need electricity.
Wears the same clothes every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe some water just to wash off all the blood. That's about it.
Well, she sleeps in the bathtub, so she probably doesn't use it a whole lot.
No.
In both movies, she slept in the bathtub.
Yeah. Maybe why she stinks so much. She just uses it as a bed and doesn't wash up.
She just, well, then that's part of her character growth is reconnecting to her humanity through Owen / Oscar.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to rename him Owen. I feel Oscar's a serviceable name.
Yeah, I get it. I get why they renamed a lot of the characters, but Oscar probably would have worked with a C rather than
Complete.
The K.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least it was still an O name somewhere.
And instead of, I was listening to it in Swedish, so they call it Eli, but just Ellie.
Yeah.
That works.
Eli, honestly, maybe. A lot of the names from the Swedish one probably would have been okay. There's a few I would have definitely would have changed. Ely's a bit of a strange name. Hawken, well, they don't even bother naming him in the next one. They just call him the parent. Eric's a suitable name. I think he's completely annexed in the remake anyway.
Yeah.
Yvonne was replaced by Virginia, but there was a Virginia in the Swedish one, so I don't know. And Locky, that was the friend with the wife Yvonne.
Mm. Yeah, the one who was whose best friend got murdered, and that was tragic.
Yeah, both those scenes were really cool. Like when
the attack scene.
Yeah, when Ely attacks Yvonne / Virginia in the remake, and gets kicked off by the boyfriend. So she's not the one of the things she does do, even in her animalistic rages when she's hunting. She does snap that first victim's neck
to not turn them
to not turn them. She doesn't have that opportunity, so she turns.
That was something that I thought was handled really great in the Swedish one with Virginia.
I agree.
Where she starts living with, after the attack, that, the sun burns her hand, she doesn't want to eat anything. It started making this, I'm infected.
There's a buildup of it.
Then the husband is like, we have all this money, we're going to sell this stamp, we're going to run away, because he's planning, you're going to die, so we're going to, live it up or whatever, right? And then she has herself killed off with the sunlight, where in the other one, it's suicide.
And in the other one, it's totally glossed over.
In the American one, it's an accident, whereas in the Swedish one, she's like, I can't live like this, and she commits suicide.
Yeah, there's no, she doesn't know what it's more immediate because they've taken her directly to the hospital. She's far more injured from the attack.
Mm-hmm. And she's also aware that... in the Swedish one, that sunburns her.
She's already had experience being burned.
Yeah, so she makes the decision by just asking that one doctor to open the blinds.
And goes a lot quiet. But she doesn't take the nurse with her.
What was that?
The American one, she's trying to put her out, and she just goes up in flames with her.
Yeah, nurse outfits are very flammable.
That's just it. Everything's just more in the American one. It's not bad.
Kill more than one person in the American one?
You don't think too much about it if you hadn't seen the Swedish one, but because I'd seen the American one a couple of times and how wonderful it is. And it still is, but I realize how heavy-handed it can be after watching the Swedish one and the subtleties it has.
And also, like we say, the darker themes, the pedophilia, the genital mutilation.
All gone.
Yep. Now, there's the addition of Elias Koteas as the policeman in the American one. Now, there are cops in the Swedish one, but they don't really have any on-screen importance. They come in and mention something to the kids when they find the body. There's cops all over the place in the movie, just not in any significant role.
Well, he's basically what I felt his role was, that guy who loses his best friend and then his wife burns herself up. I feel that's his, Elias Koteas, because a lot of stuff that he does is what the guy in the Swedish film does.
Yeah, he's kind of amalgamated a few characters.
Yeah.
Because the guy's the best friend dude, he's got a little bit of vengeance in him, and he goes after Ellie because he knows.
Yeah.
He goes after you because he knows that's who did it. And whereas the policeman's just kind of not sure. It's a case of, this person didn't answer the door.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
They open on him in the American one, that's 2 weeks later scene.
Yeah, where
in the hospital. And that's where the first mention of the companion's daughter had come. She used the front door.
Yeah.
First. The Swedish one, she just climbed up the fucking side of the building.
Well, no, she's standing. I thought this is really well handled, because this is going back to the vampire lore thing. I mean, with both titles, the deal is, the one thing that they held on to with vampire lore was that they had to be invited in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when she's standing at the hospital in the Swedish one,
the
nurse says, you can come in through this door.
Yeah, she has to say
And then so she enters the hospital, but she doesn't want to give a name, and so she just runs off, and then she climbs the building.
Right.
And then you have that, touching scene where he, one last time, tries to feed her, and then she tosses him so he doesn't turn or whatever.
Oh, the American one, she asks, can I come into the room?
Into the room.
And he says, he can't say the words, but he actually shakes his head.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no.
No, this is not. Yeah, it's kind of, it's, but yeah, in the Swedish one, they do invite her in, which is.
Yep, it's clever.
Yeah.
What did you think about, what happens when she's not invited in?
Well, it was interesting. They never really addressed it.
No. I mean, I think both scenes were well handled. It's just a case of, I think it's one of those things we all wondered about, that old vampire wives' tale kind of thing. What happens if, what does happen? And I'm glad that they added that in both. And she bleeds through every pore.
Do you feel it was foreshadowing for Chloe?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Because she's Carrie in the remake.
Yeah. I did think about that with when I was watching that. I'm like, it's not the first time she's
covered in blood.
Covered in blood.
Technically was.
Yeah.
Because she did that movie before Carrie. Yeah. Carrie's from 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
People are like, who should we cast? Hey, have you seen Let Me In?
She looks great covered in blood.
Yeah. I really like, we're not talking about Carrie, that's a different show, but I really loved her in Carrie.
Yeah.
That whole remake is amazing.
Yeah, and we'll definitely cover that down the road for sure. You know, Chloe's given us a couple of remakes. I actually like her career, but especially when I was at this time in her life, when she's still just becoming a teenager, and seeing her do like some sweet kid in a family movie, and then she goes and does something like Let Me In, and then she'll do another kind of sweet
Hit Girl or whatever
family thing, and then she'll do Hit Girl, and then she'll go do something else, sweet family thing again, and then it's Carrie, and it's like, what the fuck?
She's a broad actress. I think in the years to come, if there are any, she'll become a scream queen, because she's done quite a number of like really well received horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only thing working against her is she's just a short lady.
Yeah.
She's a short tiny woman. But fucking talented.
I don't think
talented.
Tiny works against her. I think Tiny's fine. Tiny She'll works do fine.
I don't know. Well, look at that one that Spielberg was using a lot. Do you remember the miniseries Taken? I'm blanking on her name.
Oh,
she's another child actress that I thought was just well beyond her years. She was in the War of the Worlds remake.
Oh, Dakota Fanning?
Yeah, Dakota Fanning. Another one where now that she's in her late teens, she might even be 20 now.
Yeah.
You don't see much of her anymore. Again, she just didn't grow very big, and it makes it a little tougher to cast. You can only play a teenager for so long.
True.
So, yeah, I mean, Luke Perry and she's only did amazing. It for 45 years.
So. Hey, he's also 6'6".
Luke Perry?
Oh, I don't know how big he is. He's
like 5'11".
Tall, lanky. He's definitely taller.
He's under 6 feet.
Yeah, well, still, that's taller. It's tall by my standards.
You know what?
I'm 5'8".
That's what I can't understand. We're talking about them being tiny, but like a lot of actors are not big guys.
Oh, sure. And it does seem to work against female actresses, or you know, Stallone's 5'4", but. You know.
But like that. Well, that's why you can. That's why you need tiny women like her, so that he looks hulking.
Oh, maybe that's just it. We just need shorter action stars, and everybody's got the right ratio.
Yeah.
Again.
Like now they've gotten really big guys now, so now they have to have women who are at least a little. Oh, I mean, they can be in the same
shot.
They're
both working. We're just not seeing them in as big of roles these days. So I don't know. They're both amazing actors. I still think Dakota's probably going to get an Oscar someday.
I know she's so, eerily
so good.
One of those.
And I can see Chloe.
Kids.
Being one of those
where I'm like I look at Chloe and I look at like Dakota Fanning, and they're the type of like child actors I'm like, you're more of a grown-up than I am.
Yeah, they were like I saw some old interviews with Dakota and how well spoken that kid was at 12.
I know, right?
I'm not that well spoken now.
I know. You're like, wait,
we're the ones with an audio podcast.
She's an adultier adult than I am. It's not good. It's really good. But yeah, no, I don't know. I liked how they handled there is consequences to not being asked in. And that's...
Yeah, it was cool to see that because it's never been addressed ever before.
Well, I've seen it in True Blood they did. But it basically what occurs is if you uninvite somebody, then they're just like thrown out wherever you are.
So like the kid goes, is there an invisible wall? Like,
yeah, is there something in your way?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're, kind of basically that's it. That's the way they did in other things, is like basically some unseen forces takes them out.
No, I liked this. It made more sense instead of the unseen force just throws you out the door.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's got to be, it's a vulnerability to a vampire.
Yeah.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah. And, you know, vampire, classic vampires, there's a lot of religious iconography that is related to a lot of their weaknesses. That's never handled, and despite religion being a heavy-handed thing in the American thing, it never plays towards the vampire. But it play a little bit in Owen's struggle between what's good, what's evil.
Yeah.
You know, he's still trying to figure out what's evil. And I mean, it's fairly heavy handed because it was very clearly he was looking for an answer when he called his father and asking, really upset after seeing her feed.
Yeah.
Abby feed, and trying to figure out what is evil, because he doesn't feel that way about her.
Yeah, like
but
he feels she's...
it's some pretty horrific shit at the same time.
That's what I really liked about the character of Oscar, is, like, it's not a concern.
Yeah.
Because he's I would say that Oscar is generally an evil person, so, like, he's not conflicted, really, when it comes up.
I think I think he's a bit of a sociopath. He's disconnected from his own emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he's evil per se, because, like I said, he makes the conscious choice that he can't kill. He doesn't want to be.
Yeah,
that,
I don't know. I think that was just maybe a fear response or something. Like, I don't feel like he was like, oh, no way, they can't do this. I think he's on board with.
I think he's never been confronted with the opportunity.
I think in a way they're both in the Swedish one. They're both finding their humanity.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Maybe. For sure. Like she kind of reluctantly.
Yeah.
She likes him.
Yeah. Where in American one, she's trying to make him more brave, and that's certainly something that she's trying to do in the Swedish one, defend yourself, but it's not a thing of fear for him. He just kind of takes it.
Yeah.
It's like, this is my life.
Yeah, but she's like, no, that's not, don't let them do this. Otherwise, they'll just keep doing it.
Yeah, and which culminates in that great scene on the ice where, the entire school from like ages 6 to 20, I guess they only have one school system. And
if you have a small enough school,
small enough that's going to happen. Guess. Yeah, I guess. So they all going to go ice skating and with the hockey equipment and stuff like that for the older kids. And he's such a solitary character. He just kind of goes poking around that hole where the human dumped the body.
Yeah, badly. Just dumped it badly.
Which had since kind of moved down the ice.
Underneath the ice, but like
I love in the Swedish one, it was just some kids who needed to take a leak.
Yeah.
Oh, like,
go by the trees and they find the body there.
I like that because it was like a diversionary moment, right? It was like in the Swedish one, the teacher starts looking at the kids
and sees what's going to happen. Yeah.
And then the two girls are like, we have to pee. And he's like, oh, what? And he's totally distracted. And then they get the scream, where in the American one, they just like he's noticing he says something to them and starts coming over.
Yeah.
And then they scream. And,
and he's actually distracted from when Oscar whacks the bully with that big heavy rod.
Yeah.
In the ear. And I like the pause for a minute where, and before he starts screaming, he just, there's this shocked moment that you just, ow. Holy fuck, that hurts. Suddenly just shock sets in with that kid. I'm like, right on, man.
And they did that in both, I think.
It was handled very well. It was a little different because the it's just slightly different. You don't have kids asking to go pee. It's a case of the teachers witnessing what's going on, sees Owen smack these kids. And I think in his mind, he's probably going, these kids got it coming a little bit. But, you know, now he's got to be the authoritative figure and go deal with that. At the same time, the other screams happen. And I'm like, oh, well, there's more screams over there. I got to go deal with that one first.
Exactly.
One kid is over, 20, 30 kids screaming. So
both times I felt a little scared because, like, it was like when he hits and then there's like that delay before shock sets in. Both times I kept, like, the first time I watched, I'm like, oh, my God, he's hit him way too hard. Oh, he's killed him. Like, I thought that's what was going to happen. Yeah,
really, like, when they drop to the knees, and both movies cast that bully really well.
Yeah.
They
were good. Yeah.
They both look like just shits.
Oh, yeah, they're little bastards.
Although I felt the American one was just a little meaner.
Yeah.
Oh, the atomic wedgie and the swirlies, and then, I don't know, his older brother was obviously
some kind of psychopath. Well.
Yeah, the bullying just trickled down effect.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's a family business.
Yeah, he's a bit of a sociopath. Like, you know, near the end, it's like, well, you can hold your breath underwater for 3 minutes and I'll just nick you with this knife, or I take your eye, an eye for an ear.
And then in the American ones, both eyes.
No, it was an eye for an ear.
That was one both.
Yeah,
eyes.
they both say an eye for an ear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Either way, it's horrible. One eye, two eyes, it still sucks, dude.
But what's funny is in both ones, like the younger brother's kind of like going, This has gotten real, real.
Yeah, yeah.
He may have hit me, but I don't really want to kill anybody. But the older brother, you're like, oh no, the older brother does want to kill somebody.
He really does.
Yeah, yeah. He just didn't make it far enough into adulthood for us to ever find out.
No.
Because even though Ellie at that point had to leave, she's still keeping an eye on Owen/Oscar, and that's where you get the terrific pool death scene.
So good.
Yeah. Man, just the hand, the shot of the hand holding the head down and then body parts starting to fall into the water like in that the background.
Somebody's dragged through
the shots in the backgrounds, and then the arm just falling off his head. Like, it's a little more effective in the Swedish one, because he gets out, like, he can hear, hearing the screams underwater, but...
Yeah!
But in the American one, Owen gets up out of the water
and hears the rest of it.
He never turns around to look, but he gets out of the water. And it almost takes away from the effectiveness just a tad.
Yeah, like the quiet while all this insanity is coming. Like, you can hear the little boo, but that's it.
Yeah.
And the Swedish version just makes it a little bit more frightening.
Yeah. I totally agree.
So good. So good.
Just noticed, too, that Owen has worked with the director a second time. The director, like Matt Reeves, did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Right.
Okay. The, like, sequel.
Oh, was he the teenager by
that? Yeah, he's the teenager. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So that's interesting. He was also the voice of Norman in Paranorman, which is a freaking awesome
movie. Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah. Fun.
So good. Yeah. I was looking up the guy who played Oscar. He's in, what was it, Humans? That's the Swedish version. There's a British version of it. It's a whole sci-fi series about, you know, robots that look like humans.
Both of them haven't done, the Swedish actor and actress... hadn't done a lot, like 3 or 4 roles each. And then they just got cast.
Yeah. They did like a massive casting call for both of them.
Yeah. Like, both amazingly effective films. And it's interesting knowing how well those movies were received critically that they didn't do very well.
Yeah.
Like, because they really do stand the test of time. I mean, they're not that old, mind you, but...
Okay, I was going to bring this up.
Classics.
There's one scene that I agreed should have been cut in the... American one from the Swedish one, and unfortunately they cut the entire like part of the story that was part of, but there's this ridiculous scene where the cats attacked a lady.
That was insane.
The worst CG cats I've ever seen.
Yeah, the cat, they do make a point of cats reacting to
vampires.
Throughout the whole film. We see Ellie walking by pet stores and things like that. Yeah, like, and
those CG cats they do not stand the test of time.
Oh, no. Nope. That was such a bizarre scene.
Most CG doesn't.
It was almost comical.
Yeah, like, it was out of place.
Yeah, but that was another...
poorly done.
That was another...
that's right before she goes to the hospital.
That was the heavy-handed... Yeah, that's why she goes to the hospital, is that heavy-handed... She's starting to realize something's wrong with her, Yvonne, after her attack, before she goes to the hospital and explodes in fire. As you do. The cat scene was just to put a fine point that you're not human anymore, and the cats know it, and they all just go ape shit. Yeah.
That's pretty intense. Yeah, that was a stupid scene. Yeah. I was like, man.
I agree, that was a good cut.
I hope they don't do that. And instead of like just cutting the cat sequence, they cut the entire like discovery of being a vampire subplot.
Yeah.
Which is too much. Not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there should be a little something.
It's interesting to see how the runtimes are the same, but how much went into making each scene a little more heavy, impactful, a little more horror thriller type of scenario in the American one. I kept thinking each of these scenes, I'm like, you just had to make that a wee bit scarier, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
Make her attacks a little bit more vicious, a little bit more drawn out. Like the tunnel one especially. Like
the tunnel
is super quick in the Swedish one and very effective. And it's effective in the American one, but like, you know, bouncing off the walls and all this weird
throwing
shit.
Throwing him back.
There's just a little extra time that goes into those type of scenes, and it starts adding up and to make the runtime the same.
Yeah. And more spooky vampire face. She only does it maybe once or twice in the Swedish one, but like every time she does it.
Oh yeah, she gets scarier. When she gets animalistic, you actually get a little more afraid.
You know, there's crazy eyes.
Yeah, she's actually very scary in the... Now, when I watch them, I'm like, I don't really feel like the Swedish one's a horror movie.
No.
But I do feel like I could put the American one into that category.
Yeah, and it's with the Swedish one, too, it seems like every time, like, kind of at the end of it after she feeds and, like, her face kind of returns to normal, there's that little bit of, like, sadness about it. Like, she's not happy about what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably why
there's a slight bit of remorse
to go and get food for her because she doesn't want to hunt.
Yeah, she does not want to hunt. That's part of it, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Swedish one does so well in the emotions in these characters' faces, or in the case of Oscar, the lack of them.
Yeah,
you know, I at no point did I think that kid was right in the head.
Oh no,
Oscar, no.
I felt Owen was just, you know, I felt like this was a bullied kid and he was just having a shitty life. But
he also looks like that kid from House by the Cemetery, the Fulci movie.
They do when he's wearing the mask in his underwear and doing the stabby thing with his tiny little pocket knife. That's when I start thinking in the American one, I'm like, oh, you're not quite right either.
No.
Well, yeah, and no. I mean, it gives you...
But it doesn't make as much sense either.
It makes him seem more like a sexual predator, because they change Piggy to girl. So he's like, oh, are you scared, little girl?
Yeah.
Are you a little girl? And he's like stabbing, and it's like, well, that's creepy. And then he's watching his neighbors have sex. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
A creepy sexual predator. That's cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The sexual is weird. Like, it's the Swedish one that messed up.
Well, at 12, I guess you would be kind of just discovering your sexuality as well, the curiosity. And yeah, it probably comes off creepy if somebody's catching you doing it.
Yeah.
Like that chick did. She's always giving him the stink eye.
She knows. Well, I mean, he's sneaking in that telescope, and there's that giant light, like, right outside his window shining in. I don't know if you caught that. When he, like, looks up when the truck shows up, there's a huge light right there.
Yeah.
So, like, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, no, he's well lit. Yeah. I'm surprised nobody talked to his mom about that.
Maybe they didn't
care. Like, yeah, but maybe it's because, like, he's looking through his telescope with the nice, attractive neighbors.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty neighbors.
Oh, yeah, that chick was hot.
You only want to see pretty nice people doing it. Because that's all that happens ever.
Now, yeah, Elias Koteas at the end. That was interesting. I didn't dig that, you know, he was just breaking and entering as a cop. Like, you don't do that. I didn't buy it as much as I bought the friend angle that House was going out for a little bit of revenge on the monster. It felt a little bit more old school, let's kill the monster moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in the original.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just needed a pitchfork and a torch, and it would have been fine.
Yeah, and I do get why they did that. They were amalgamating certain characters because they were adding to some of those action sequences that they needed to put some of these elements into a different character. And that was him, but it just, the motivations were a lot weaker in that case. He had, you know, okay, sure, if you have hunches and stuff, you're still a cop. You go get a warrant.
I know, right? And then he's there with the gun. I kind of like the old school. The guy just has a knife to kill the monster.
Yeah. And at that point, breaking and entering, like, Oscar certainly had more motivation to not help and was in a position to actually stab him himself.
Yeah.
And that's when he makes that conscious choice that he's not that guy.
Not do it, yeah.
But in the other one, it's a little different where Owen's not armed at all.
He's not armed, no.
He just reaches over and the cop's kind of reaching back looking for help, and he just closes the door because he can't watch.
He yells too, which alert, they both do yell to alert
to wake up,
whatever.
She kind of got singed.
She sort of wakes up, but him yelling distracts the guy enough so that she can get out and attack him before he kills her.
Yeah, and in her mind, that was enough protection. And of course, at this point, he's a bit complicit in this person's death, regardless of which version you're watching. And that is enough motivation for them to leave.
Yeah. Well, together. Yeah, it's her leaving.
Well, actually, no, she leaves. It's her motivation for her to leave. She can't stick around anymore because there's too many people know. And he sticks around, and that's when they get the pool scene, because he's trying to make a little more conscious effort to be part of the world and get stronger.
Yeah.
That's when they get the pool bullying attack thing, and that's after that, when there's that many bodies, everybody's got to leave.
Oh, God, yeah.
And they both end on a train.
Yeah. So actually, I thought that was interesting that they kept the train in the American one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought they would do, like, a Greyhound.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It would have been on a bus or something. But
I think it's harder with the box.
Yeah, they wouldn't have allowed that on the bus floor. So.
Yeah, I should have to go in the under storage thing or the little Greyhound trailer.
Or is it going to stamp on the floor?
Yeah, Morse code.
Morse code was kind of an interesting way for them to keep in touch with each other through the wall because they were direct neighbors.
Yeah.
And that played very well in the box.
Yeah.
Yeah, the final Morse code in the Swedish one.
Kiss?
Yeah, it was like last kiss or something like that.
I did not go through the effort of finding the translation.
Oh, no, I found that in the trivia.
Okay, so it's called last trivia. Kiss?
She taps kiss, and then he traps puss, which I think translates to little kiss.
Yeah, little kiss or something. And I'm not sure what he says in the American one. It didn't really say.
I'm not sure.
Nobody cared. They're like, why is he tapping on the box? I don't get it.
Yeah, I didn't get the translations popping up on
I didn't get the one. No,
there was no translation.
Oh, okay.
I found it online.
Oh, okay. You guys researched.
We did some research.
Shocking.
4 seconds on IMDb's trivia, and you know everything about a movie.
I didn't have time to
wait.
Look
have
at
I given
trivia.
Away the secret of our podcast?
We do minimal amounts of research, but little bits of research. We're just interested in the trivia.
We watch these so late, so they're so fresh in our minds, and I'm like, fuck, I wish I would have time to watch the special features on the disc and that sort of thing. And just,
I know. I might do that later. Just do it because it's interesting.
Yeah. I'd honestly, I mean, if I had more time and we didn't have day jobs, I'd actually watch the movie with commentary, and then do
the
special features.
Never watched a movie with commentary, ever.
Oh,
really?
It's just not something I've
ever heard. Dude, you got to do Bubba Hotep. Because there's two commentary tracks. One's a straight one, and the other one's all Elvis.
Oh, nice.
Funny.
Actually, the movie Van Helsing is terrible, but the one commentary track is makes that movie great.
I love that movie. It was The Mummy.
It's
vampires.
It's a little shitty, but
I still like Van Helsing.
But you
add the commentary track with the guy who plays Dracula. Fantastic. It's brilliant.
Oh, okay,
I
cool. Because maybe I'll like him better because he was terribly miscast.
Yeah. Well, it's him and the guy who plays Frankenstein. And I can't remember.
Dracula's such a hard character to cast properly. Like, there are certain actors, they got to have an inherent creepiness to them, I think. And they just, the Van Helsing guy just didn't have that, whatever you need.
It's too pretty.
Yeah.
See, I didn't feel that it was the too pretty. Like, for Dracula,
Gary Oldman was awesome.
Yeah. For Dracula, for me, I always felt there has to be, like, some sort of, like, I have to feel that attraction to Dracula. That's what I have to feel. I didn't feel it for him. I didn't feel it for Jack Palance. Christopher Lee, absolutely. And George Hamilton, absolutely.
George Hamilton. Hey, Dracula, why are you so tanned?
And Gary Oldman, of course. I was like, I get it.
George Hamilton.
Yeah, he's great in Love at First Bite.
The most tanned vampire ever.
He's brilliant in it, but Leslie Nielsen, not at all.
Jesus.
Damn. I don't know, there has to be that sexual attraction. That's that's how I think of Dracula.
Triss's sexual attraction to vampires was brought to you by
Harry's.com.
Harry's.com.
I don't know. We're still fishing for that sponsor.
Yeah, funny. That's creepy. I don't know. What? I like that. You know, we're not talking about Van Helsing.
The Lost Boys,
Van
all
Helsing.
Of them sexy.
I like that movie quite a bit, but I thought that Frankenstein was the worst in that.
Oh, that was that. With the special effects inside his head.
I like the way he looked.
Let's
his
cast
characterization
some,
was shitty.
Well, I didn't even mind the look so much as, like, it was just, again, miscast. I'm like, let's cast some fat guy.
Like, and then, like, just cry.
I still want the giant lumbering. I just want the giant lumbering monster. You know, he was almost too likable.
Oh, I didn't find him likable. I thought he was a whiner.
Oh, yeah. He was just too normal. Like, yeah, you're just an emo emo Frankenstein. I don't dig you at all.
I found the Wolfman a little emo.
Did you watch there was a little prelude cartoon. It was about 20 minutes, 25 minutes long that they did to Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was badass. Yeah.
I don't recall that.
Oh, yeah, it was Van Helsing was chasing down Jekyll.
Yeah,
Jekyll Hyde.
Oh, the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that's good.
Oh no, but that's the cartoon. There's more. There's more of that.
Yeah, it's like the whole lead up to, and then the movie kind of starts at the end of it or whatever. But,
okay,
yeah.
I should look that up.
Yeah,
it was a good time.
Yeah, it was a good time, but no
cartoons.
No classic character was ever handled properly in that movie.
No. But it was a fun movie, like The Mummy. That's just what
they were. That was Universal trying to create a new franchise out of those things, and I think they had the right idea. It was just too X-Men-y.
It was weirdly
action-y.
Broad. Like, it just didn't seem like they were trying to make them all palatable in a weird way.
Yeah.
That
it's
didn't
better than
work.
The Wolfman remake. Fuck that movie.
Oh, that was pretty
we'll
bad.
We'll talk about that in a different podcast.
Yeah, we will.
We're totally going to
hammer that one out because that was
Hammer.
Bad.
Hammer. It.
And yeah, you know, this was Hammer, since they kind of resurfaced, was their third movie?
Yeah.
And do you believe?
Yeah, I don't know. The first one noticing was The Woman in Black, which is like fairly recent.
Oh, that was after this. The first one was I'm totally blanking. Was a film that got serialized on MySpace. You remember MySpace?
Oh yeah.
When that was a big media thing?
I still have a MySpace somewhere.
I do too. It's turned into this weird music social media thing. I never on it anymore.
Oh,
sorry,
I have
guys.
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know what
I still have my MySpace page, though. And then the second one was, we were talking about this last week off air, was an Irish movie called Wakewood.
Yeah.
Which I still haven't seen. And then they did Let Me In. And they haven't done a shit ton yet. They've done two Women in Blacks.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to remember the other one. And there's a couple other ones that I'm just completely blanking on. But they're doing all right. I mean, some of them feel kind of that, how I felt about a bunch of the Hammer movies were kind of that slow British movie thing. But Hammer in my mind's always been the masters of gothic horror, which when I was younger, I just thought was retardedly boring. I appreciate it more as an adult. So
I liked Hammer horror, but I always thought of them for those anthology films where it's a bunch of interlocking stories.
Beyond the Rave.
Yeah,
Beyond the Rave. That was the MySpace one. Yeah, it was a vampire thing again.
I actually just recently watched Dracula 1972 AD, which is like the disco Dracula, and it was fucking fantastic.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Christopher Lee comes back, and there's a dude who just, like, his character basically is Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange. So he's like this instantly creepy dude that apparently all of his friends just like, yeah, this guy seems pretty cool. It's the 60s. Yeah, or 70s. Sorry, yeah, it was a really cool movie. But yeah, Hammer is awesome. I agree with you totally. They took the 30s Universal and just ran with it for 40 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they just, gothic horror was their bread and butter, and they were so good at it. And they're getting back to that. I mean, Woman in Black, it's fucking boring. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's so boring. But I haven't seen the sequel, but it's fucking boring. But it's also classic gothic horror. So,
yeah. Well, I don't know. Gothic horror, I think, is having a bit of a resurgence.
Crimson Peak's
very gothic.
That stuff. But I mean, like, even just like there's British television series called Inside Number 9. And that's a lot of gothic horror about it, but set in like current times.
Did you see that Tales from the Dark Side's getting a remake?
What?
Or was it Tales of Dark Side?
The Crypt is getting a remake.
Not Tales. That's a TV thing, but there's an anthology film. I want to say Dark Side, but maybe it was. What was the other anthology?
There's Tales from the Crypt, Tales from the Dark Side.
From the 70s.
Tales
from the Hood.
It was the 70s Tales of.
Tales from the Crypt or the Vault of Horror.
No, maybe it was Dark Side. Maybe it was Dark Side. So
some anthology is getting a remake, guys.
Yeah.
We don't know what.
I should come in with notes more often about things I want to talk about. But I saw that earlier in the week, which will be old news by the time this actually airs. But
so whenever anything current gets announced for a remake, like once I like stop being in the cloud of rage, I like forget to write it down. So
yeah, it's just it. By the time we get to record,
The one with Joan Collins, is that the one we're thinking of? That's Tales from the Crypt.
No, it's not Crypt. I know it's not Crypt.
Okay, then
that's being developed as
Tales
a television
from the Dark
series.
Side's the other one. With, would have had Julianne Moore and Steve Buscemi.
Okay, I feel like there's a 70s one that I'm forgetting about, but that could be the one. Maybe it was Dark Side.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I know there was an old 70s Crypt movie as well.
There was, yeah.
Yeah, 1972.
It was excellent.
Okay, well, you know, as always, guys, you can be part of the conversation. And we were just talking about Let Me In. And, you know, these final thought here are great. Both of them are great remakes, and sometimes, I understand the Swedish director's apprehension to a remake, and I certainly agree with his comments about them, but, you know, to reach, sometimes these foreign films, especially a Swedish one, just to make it more palatable to a wider audience, you kind of have to go that route and do the American remake, and, you know, sometimes the Americans just like to go in and completely fuck it up. Sometimes it's too tied to the lore of or the culture that it's made in. Whereas this, I think, Let Me In isn't, you know, or Let the Right One In. It would have worked in whatever scenario. I think it's a shame that people are too afraid to put the effort into reading a foreign movie and subtitles, and then dubs just lose something entirely.
Well,
because
it's not even that. It's like some of the material in it was just too challenging for some people. They're like going, oh, I can't think about that crap. Like, it's not the ambiguous sexuality is something they couldn't even bother.
Yeah, they did take out pretty much anything that might be remotely controversial from the Swedish one.
Yeah, like it's just sort of the fact that I'm not a girl and like actually go with that.
Yeah,
that was something. It's like they and couldn't do it, which is just funny.
That you know now it's 6 years later, how much of a topic that's become.
Yeah,
like it was just ahead of the conversation. Like if they would have remade that now, that probably all would have stayed in.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could hope, but I don't know. I'm not that certain it would have stayed in. They're still playing a bunch of stuff safe. They're just doing it. Like
it was safer.
Society itself is talking about it. Yeah. That doesn't mean movies are going to do any better.
Yeah. That said, I don't think the. I mean, the American
remake. Make money.
Yeah, the American remake certainly wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's a very good movie, but it's a much safer movie.
It's a much safer, but it's also very, like you say, Midwest. There's that Satanism, that, religious undertones that they felt were necessary.
Well, they say that. They ask the guy outright, are you a Satanist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the religious undertones, they don't make them undertones. They make them, like, huge, broad overtones.
Yeah.
Which, it's just, I mean, if you're going to do that in a vampire movie, like you say, make it against the vampire, have the crosses, have the holy water, like, do that.
Oh, I like that they didn't do that.
But yeah, if you're going to make it that broad, either go for it or don't go for it.
I mean, you have an American movie where you bring in religious tones into the family home.
Mm-hmm.
At no point does that play against the vampire, which I think is fascinating that, you know, it's like waving it in front of your face. Like, yeah, we got it. We got the carrot. We're dangling it, but you can't have it.
I felt they should have at least put a cross on the door or something weird that would have made a problem.
Yeah.
I think that would have been cool.
Yeah. I feel like there was an extra moment in there that they just didn't take advantage of.
I'm glad they didn't.
Like, I'm glad they didn't too.
I echo your guys' sentiments as well. I think that
we've seen it a million times.
Yeah.
Right?
I think the Swedish movie is like super challenging, especially with like the sexual themes and like the age of the characters and all that stuff.
Yeah,
is really great. And yeah, would this movie have done anything in an American audience? It probably would have been like pandered or whatever, but I don't know. I guess my like closing thought is, if you're gonna go and remake a movie about a castrated vampire, you just got to go balls in and just do it.
Well, balls out, wouldn't that be more
balls
appropriate?
Balls off.
Well, that's the problem with this one that's really horrifying, is that's not... When you talk about castration, grew up on a farm, castration is taking the balls off, not taking the whole equipment off. That's genital mutilation. It wasn't castration, really, technically. Castration was part of the genital mutilation.
Got excited. It's like ordering the large fries when you know you can only eat them.
You did read the notes on the novel. Do they at any point say when this happened to her? She mentions in the movie, both movies, that she's been 12-year-old for a very long time.
From what I could figure out, having not read the book, was the general consensus is she's somewhere between 200 and 300 years old.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'd be witch trials.
Yeah. Well, 1600s then, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Witch trials or castrati gone wrong.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't even know my Swedish history.
But in the Swedish one, what they did, and I kind of want to hear with her voice,
it's Swedish.
Is the Swedish one.
But the American one for sure.
The voice of Ely is not Ely. They had somebody else dub over her voice to make it sound deeper.
Yeah, because she was actually
11.
Yeah, she was 11. Well, both of them were, but her voice was just a little too high pitched, which I find interesting. And maybe that's where in the back of my mind, her voice sounded older to me. And I read that afterwards earlier today, was that, she was overdubbed, so...
Yeah, which makes sense, but they kind of do it a bit in the American remake, where you can hear her yelling at him.
Well,
that's a deep, deep voice.
Yeah, that's when her animal part's coming out, that vampire part's coming out, and it doesn't sound quite human, but, you know, you can make that extrapolation when you're hearing through the walls, is there another person in there that's not the kid?
Well, he thinks that it's her dad. It does sound like an adult male.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very deep.
It doesn't sound like the girl.
Well, you guys can always be part of the conversation. You can join us over at Twitter at Invasion Remake, and of course, invasionoftheremake@gmail.com if you want to email us. And of course, we have our Facebook page, which is Invasion of the Remake. You know, if you dig this show, We don't ask for any cash from you guys, and we don't have sponsors, so we kind of do this at a deficit. So the best way you can help us out
is your undying devotion.
Undying devotion, but
mail us your testicles.
Eye for an ear.
Not the right time.
No, no. Honestly, I just want you guys to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Mm-hmm. That helps us out. For some odd reason, they give preference to the guys that have ratings. So if you give us 5-star ratings, we start going up in the charts and more people can see the podcast, so and subscribe to it. So, and of course, you guys can help us out by telling your friends about how cool this podcast is as well, so please do that as well. And you see our posts over on Twitter and Facebook, like and share them with your friends as well. But please give us those ratings over on iTunes and Stitcher. I don't really like asking, but you know, at the same time, we could really use the hand. And that's all we really ask of you guys. It takes like,
just let us in, guys.
Yeah,
let us in.
It takes half a second, half, not even like, it's,
you have to say it,
fraction, yeah, fractions of a second.
Like you say, you have to say the words to let us in. You have to rate us to make this happen.
Yeah,
or we start bleeding from every orifice.
Yeah, you're gonna kill us, guys.
Yes, and I'm so sick of mopping.
So, your couch is ruined. It's just ruined.
Well. I mean, I don't want a couch of woe. I've got already got a chair of woe, and like the guests get the worst spot in the house. Although it's a really ridiculously comfy chair, it's fallen apart.
It's comfy sadness.
It is, yeah. It's the chair of woe, the comfy chair of woe.
Yeah. If you're gonna woe, you're gonna woe in a good chair.
That's right. So, so that was it. That was Let the Right One In and Let Me In. I didn't really go over the stars this time around because I can't pronounce them. Most of the Swedish ones. But there's some great guys. Cody Smith McKee, McPhee, sorry, was Owen, and he's gone on to some decent stuff as a teenager as well. Chloe Grace Moretz has made a hell of a career for herself very early in her career. Richard Jenkins is the father, and he's one of those guys you always recognize from a bunch of things.
He's that guy.
Yeah, he's that dude. Yeah. Cara Buono is the want mother. Elias Codius is the policeman. Sasha Baris as Virginia, the chick that explodes.
Yeah.
In a big ball of fire. And a bunch of other guys that have names but don't really have parts.
They're in there a bit.
They're in there as well. So yeah, that's it. All right. Well, I'm Jason.
I'm Jeff.
Oh!
There seems to be some confusion of who's who.
Oh, no.
Did I say I'm Trish?
I might be Jeff.
Well, we'll figure out next week.
And we're out of here. Across the floor.